are tuned to 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. As you're probably aware, this is not Maria. She is not feeling well today, and so we send her love and peaceful thoughts so that she can get better soon. This is Ebony Johnson. I do co-host Urban Connections with Donna Wolf on Saturdays at 4, and I'm here today and filling in for Maria, and she has a wonderful show lined up, so I'm excited to get to know these guests a little bit better and share them with our Kansas City audience. Our first set of guests is with the wonderful Open Spaces program that's going on throughout Kansas City and ending this month, actually. Been going on since the end of August, and we're various installations and displays and wonderful live performances have taken place across the Kansas City metro area. We are delighted to have live in studio with us some of the artists that have exhibitions and installations and various works in that Open Spaces segment. Our first guest that I'll introduce is Consuelo Cruz, who is with the Office of Culture and Creative Services Arts and Marketing Coordinator, responsible for coordinating marketing strategies that promote the Kansas City's dynamic arts and cultural activities. So this Open Spaces is just right in alignment with what you normally do.
Yeah, it is. And thank you so much for having us back and for promoting Open Spaces on the different programs. We just heard Mark Manning talk about some of the art exhibitions and music performances that are happening in Open Spaces. So thank you all for the coverage as well.
Yeah. So share with us your work that you've been doing with that you do in general with your office, and then in specific about, and if you can share for people who may not be aware of what Open Spaces is, a little bit more about Open Spaces as well.
So in a nutshell, Open Spaces, like you said, kicked off on August 25th. It goes through October 28th. It is a 2-month citywide contemporary visual and performing arts festival. And I use the word festival very loosely because it is much more than that. It is an arts experience that happens across the city. So we basically have a free art exhibition that is happening throughout the city that people can see, where people can see art installations that are public, that are also indoors. They can take their families to by local, national, and international artists. We also have free performances on Saturdays and Sundays at the Village and Swope Park, which is also known as Pavilion One. If anybody's been to the Ethnic Festival, that's the area that we're talking about.
Yes.
Also local, national, and international. Then we have partnerships with different organizations across the city because they have things that are happening, and we want to cross-promote each other. So if visitors are coming, or if residents are already coming to Swope Park or to any parts of Open Spaces, they will also say, oh, I think this is going on. Let's go visit that organization or that event. We also have the big weekend that's happening at Starlight. That is a ticketed event, and it is headlining The Roots on Friday night, Janelle Monae on Saturday night, and then VJ Iyer on Sunday night. So it's a lot of activity. All of it is pretty much family oriented and also free, except for the ticketed events that are happening at Starlight. So
I do appreciate the multicultural experience of it as well, because I've attended some of the Open Spaces events going around in the city, and it is, you know, I do appreciate just that aspect of it, just being able to see different perspectives, different cultures, and different types of art being displayed as well, so that people understand that, gosh, there's so much, you know, there's so many layers to what it means to be an artist. And I think this Open Spaces program helps to exemplify that.
I think you're exactly right. And I think what we see, that the public sees, is one thing, but what happens behind the scenes and what artists and creatives are about behind the scenes really exemplifies entrepreneurship and how they contribute not just to the artistic and creative community, but also to the economy of the city and to the nation, really. If you look at a study that was done by the NEA and the U.S. Bureau of Employment, the arts sector represents $763 billion, with a B as in boy, of the economy, and that's about 4.2% 5% of the GDP, which is bigger than transportation. It's bigger than agriculture. And I think what that story is not shared probably mm-hmm. as much as it could be. Mm-hmm. And also what the artists are involved in. You know, they create the work that we see publicly, but maybe we don't know all of the things that are behind the scenes, like the business aspects of it, right. the marketing of it, also the fabrication and the creation of other aspects for other artists that they work with. So that's why I'm so glad that you have the artist on that you have today.
Yeah, so speaking of which, we'd like to talk to some of the artists that we have here. We'll start with you, if you don't mind, April Pugh. as she's looking at me, owner of Ingrain Studio and also participant in Open Spaces. Welcome to the studio and to Art Speak Radio, April. Talk a little bit more with us about your work in particular and what you're doing in Open Spaces.
Okay, well, I operate a very small specialty shop, basically custom metal fabrication and custom woodworking, and I was approached by Open Spaces to take on Nevin Aladag's Resonator. Okay. And after some careful consideration, most specifically related to the deadline for this project, I took it on as it was perfectly suited for my specialty shop.
Mm. You have one of the things that I read in the background that God bless you, Maria, for preparing for already having a written up description of your show before today. One of the things that you do is repurpose. Repurpose wood in a way, you know, like you, she had as a mention here of, one of your favorite projects is taking wood, on a homeowner's property. And then once dried and, you work the material into its new form, letting it live out a second life.
Yes.
So
yes.
That you, April was looking at me like, what is she talking about? No, but but doing that, and if people are anticipating losing a tree or having one down, they can just reach out to you.
Absolutely.
And you can help with that process.
Mm-hmm. That is one aspect of my studio that I pursue. And it really takes a team to do that. So, mm-hmm. yes, if you have a tree that you're losing or you have some wood down that you want to use, yes, I have a sawmill that I tap into. Mm-hmm. A tree company to come get the wood. It's quite a process, but yeah, it is one of the most exciting projects I can work on through the studio.
And April, can you give us your contact information for anyone who's interested in reaching out to you for that?
Absolutely.
Purpose?
So you can find my information on my website at ingrainstudio.com, as well as my phone number there. So ingrainstudio.com.
Okay, fantastic. And then in particular, with Nevin, is it Aladag? Can you talk a little bit more about Resonator and what that is for people who don't know what Resonator is?
Oh, sure. So Resonator's a large sculpture that contains several different instruments within the singular sculpture. Stringed instruments, drums, chimes, didgeridoo, so many aspects in one sculpture.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
And where is this sculpture?
At the American Jazz Museum.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so people can go and take a look at it.
Absolutely.
In that open space.
Absolutely,
okay.
And hopefully some performances will be taking place and they can actually hear it played.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So segueing into, you are also in that particular work, working with Amado Espinoza. Hopefully I got that okay.
Yeah.
And Amado's here in the studio, who I have had the pleasure of being a witness to your genius on several occasions with all of the instruments that you play. It's just a phenomenal experience. Can you talk to us a little bit about you have a lot of work that you've done across the world, but about who you are as an artist and what you're doing with Open Spaces?
So let me start with this project, the Resonator. So I am a musician and composer, and I make instruments. So I make instruments like a very like professional, but I make instruments and like recycle instruments. So I use a lot of like materials that I found in different places. So for the Resonator, my job was like create the sound. Mm-hmm. So for that one, so I put the chimes, strings, bridges, tuning pegs, so all this kind of material. So I use for that one, and it was a very good experience for me. I never like made something like this or collaborate with a huge musical sculpture, but it's very good. So you can just go at the Jazz Museum and you can see it has like three drums in one side and three in the other side. Each drum has a different note. Mm-hmm. So, and on top of this sculpture has two didgeridoos in two different keys. So it's very low key. So it's one is in G flat and the other is in A flat. So, and it has a harp in the middle. And in the other side has a guitar, ukulele, and bass.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's very crazy. Crazy.
it's interesting listening to you describe that, but also having the experience of witnessing you play several instruments in a music performance. It's right up your alley to actually have an installation of this nature.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So it's very, it was very excited for me. I enjoyed a lot, all the process. So at the same time, I had like two different performances with recycled instruments. And I play with other two musicians recycled instruments. So different kind of flutes made, like I have a flute broom and bagpipe, but I use a glove and PVC pipes, and then vacuum cleaner. So I use the hose of the vacuum cleaner. It's like a didgeridoo sound. So yeah, all of those instruments is very very interesting to see.
It really makes me want to go and see it after this conversation. I wanted to also share with the audience as well that you are composing and co-directing UMKC's storytelling project with your wife. Can you talk a little bit about that upcoming project you have?
Oh, no. It was, we did that project in March.
It debuted in, Sorry, Maria.
It was incredible. It was a great experience for the students and for us. We use like Andean Cosmovision. So it's a lot of like creatures, like a condor, it's an eagle from South America, llamas, so these kind of animals. So, I use all of these like ideas to make like recycled instruments. So I make quenas, but I use different kind of materials. Quenas is an Andean flute or pan flutes, but I use markers. So it's from South America. So
it's 60. Thank you. Can you share with our audience more information on ways to contact you or follow your work?
Oh yes. So I have a website. It's Amado Espinoza with Z .com. So it's my website. I have all my information in that place.
Okay. Wonderful. You do so much. It's amazing.
Thank you.
And so thank you for being here and contributing to Open Spaces as well. And then in the same vein, Martin Kell, our next Open Spaces artist that's here with us, involved in two installations, involved in the installation of two other exhibition works. and the fabrication of a table for another open spaces installation. Can you talk with us, Martin? Welcome to the table. Well, we've moved the table for the audience, but welcome to the conversation. And share with us who you are as an artist and what you're doing in open spaces this year.
Well, I applied for the Open Spaces exhibition, and while I did mention that I was an art handler and art preparator and that my services would be available if needed, and so not only did I get accepted as an artist, thankfully, they also took advantage of some of the skills that I have. So I was involved with a number of the exhibitions and the pieces and getting them installed, and in addition to getting my own work ready, so
yeah.
it was a little bit stressful for sure, trying to get my work done and stay on top of other things, but a great challenge and a lot of fun.
And where can we see the works that you've contributed to the open spaces?
My work?
Yes.
My work is on display at Arts KC, okay. 106 Southwest Boulevard.
Okay, fantastic. And then as far as on an everyday basis, can you talk a little bit about your process, your body of work in particular, and how people can contact you and follow your work?
Mm-hmm. The easiest way to stay in touch with what I'm doing is just on Instagram, which is okay. Just simply my name, all lowercase. I have an email, but you can reach out at Amphora Art Services if you'd like.
Okay, wonderful. Well, we appreciate all of you for being here today, for participating in open spaces, and then just for being artists, because beauty definitely does change things, especially in the climate that we're in and a lot that's going on. Beauty does make an impact. So we appreciate you all for telling those stories and reaching out and participating. And with that, and Consuelo, is there any final comment that you want to make before we go on break here?
No, just that we have a few weeks left. So if you are interested in any of the upcoming activities, please go to openspaceskc.com. We have social pages, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And we hope to see you out, because we only have 3 weeks left. And there's plenty of tickets for the Starlight performances, too. And there's a lot coming up.
Fantastic. Any other final comments from you all, April Martin or Amando? And if not, we'll go on our break and have more Art Speak Radio coming up with Maddie Rhodes. And we definitely appreciate you all for being here.
Well, I definitely think Open Spaces was a wonderful major event for Kansas City, and I do hope that it happens again.
Fantastic. Me too. I've been enjoying it as well. Thanks so much, everyone, for listening to Open Spaces artists April Pugh, Martin Kell, to Amado Espinoza, and then to Consuelo Cruz with the Office of Culture and Creative Services. We are going to take a break here on Art Speak Radio. Ebony Johnson filling in for the beautiful Maria Vasquez Boyd, who is not feeling well, and we hope she gets well. But we'll be back after these messages on 90.1 FM.
Supporting KKFI, Kansas City Ragtime and Beyond presents Baltimore's Peacherine Ragtime Society Orchestra, Thursday, October 11th at 7 o'clock p.m. at Old Mission United Methodist Church on Shawnee Mission Parkway. Orchestral Ragtime blends the virtuosity of classical music with the scandal of jazz with the Peacherine Ragtime Society Orchestra. That's Thursday, October 11th at 7 o'clock p.m. Old Mission United Methodist Church, Shawnee Mission Parkway, just east of Mission Road. More info at kcragtime.org.
And we are back here on Art Speak Radio. My name is Ebony Johnson, filling in for Maria Vasquez Boyd, who we are hoping gets well soon. And we're going to go ahead with our second segment for the show today. We have in the studio with us John Fierro and Jenny Mendez of Maddie Rhodes. John is the president and CEO of the Maddie Rhodes Center, and Jenny Mendez is the director of cultural affairs with Maddie Rhodes Art Gallery. And here today to discuss the progress of Maddie Rhodes capital campaign and some upcoming events. Welcome to Art Speak Radio.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Thank you. Can you start out by sharing with our audience who and what Matty Rhodes is for people who are not aware of the organization?
Sure. So Matty Rhodes Center is one of Kansas City's most historic nonprofit organizations. We are now in our 124th year of community services to children, families, and individuals throughout Greater Kansas City.
Wow. Wow.
And our vision for the future is simply to create a community where individuals have the resources to thrive, that they're healthy, they're safe, and that they reach their full potential. And so we're doing that through a variety of areas. And one in particular that we're talking about today is the use of visual arts as a way to reach that reality.
Okay. Jenny, anything you want to add to that, or was that sufficient for you?
Oh, it was great. Yeah. He does a great job.
Thank you.
You have, for the last 20 years, Matty Rhodes has been at the heart of Dia de los Muertos.
Muertos.
Mm-hmm. I tried to say that a little bit the way that that Jenny helped me before with Day of the Dead celebrations in Kansas City and just festivities that are held in the historic West Side neighborhood, and which is home to many of Kansas City's Latinx residents. Can you talk to us about the importance of the Day of the Dead celebrations culturally and just your work to nurture and share that in the Kansas City area?
Sure. This is our 20th anniversary, so it's a big one.
Yay.
Really excited that we can help bring culture and understanding, traditions of this amazing celebration for Dia de los Muertos, Day of the Dead. And it's part of many programs that we provide at Matty Rhodes. It's one that's definitely highlighted. We get lots and lots of visitors, you know, over 5,000 visitors in a 6-week period. And you know, just the Day of the Dead in itself has become so, you know, just well known for so many people, really out on the forefront. And we're happy that for the last 20 years, we played a part in that here in Kansas City.
Yeah.
You know, and if we could bring a little piece of Mexico and what it means to be able to be a part of this amazing celebration of remembering and honoring our loved ones that have passed on, that's really our goal, is to educate and to hopefully have that experience for people when they walk into our space. So with that, our arts education program, you know, that we want to continue to provide to elementary, even preschool age, to elementary, high school, and then of course university, and then any of the community, just being able to you know, just hopefully help people to understand. And at the times that we're in now today, it's even more important, so people can be open and feel connected and just, you know, and enjoy and be a part of the celebrations that occur.
I'll say for me, I spoke a little bit about this with Maria when after I saw the movie Coco.
Yes.
And, you know, and I asked her about it and a couple of other people that I knew just to get their feel, you know, as someone actually a part of that culture, how they felt about it. And she liked it, you know, with some things, you know, with any movie. But it helped me have an understanding, because I would see some of the images and the skeletons and different things and think, well, what is it? You know what I mean? You know, and then not really explore it too much further. But seeing the movie, and to your point, Jenny, just the storytelling and understanding the culture behind it and the value of, you know, honoring our ancestors and our loved ones and the spiritual and emotional connection with it, I said, okay, I can resonate that with that. I can understand that and appreciate that as a human being in my own African culture, and you know, so it helped me to understand it more and not feel maybe just foreign to it, like, oh, I don't get it, you know. Now right. I feel an appreciation for it.
Yeah, definitely. People can connect to the movie. It gives a better understanding, so people are seeing it, but they did such an amazing job of the movie that it takes really, I mean, they went and did the right research. They went and I can see the movie and really show that I've experienced that when I visited Mexico for Day of the Dead, you know.
Yes, sure.
Well, and I would just add on to your comment, Ebony. So take your reaction to mm-hmm. the movie in particular, and as you talked about being of African-American descent. Mm-hmm. Now, imagine a third or fourth generation Mexican-American mm-hmm. who has no understanding of the celebration and people coming up to them, well, shouldn't you know that you're Mexican? Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, the movie and what Matty Rhodes art program is about is really preserving the Hispanic culture. And to Jenny's point, education in the broadest sense, mm-hmm. Because when you were just sharing, you know, the exchange with Maria, I was reminded when I first met Jenny probably over 25 years ago and hiring her to paint a mural in the West Side neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And she brought concepts of Dia de los Muertos. And just mm-hmm. like your reaction, I was like, what is this? The yeah. skeletons, all yeah. this black color, dark. Mm-hmm. So here I was, had grown up in the West Side neighborhood with Mexican parents, never being taught this celebration that really, you know, we should be proud of those family and friends who've come before us and really not forget them, but celebrate them. So I just thought I would point that out that, yeah. You know, that is really just kind of one of the ways that we are utilizing visual arts as a way to educate folks.
Wonder, and you also, including in the events that you host around Day of the Dead, there's an altar exhibition that's made for and by members of the community, actually. Yes. So that I thought that was fantastic.
Yes, and,
you know?
And that's going up now. So right now, our gallery is really busy. So we have a late night tonight and tomorrow where people are putting last minute stuff. And it's a really wonderful process to watch, you know, to see it magically turn into this exhibition and of installations, ofrendas, altars that people are really connected to. Mm-hmm. And we have a family that's been coming probably for the past 2 weeks, and they're not done.
Yeah.
They said they'll be back on Thursday night. So I said, sure, you know, that's great. Mm-hmm. But it's a wonderful part of your grieving process and a part of just that celebration of life. Mm-hmm. You're remembering someone, and it's not just about the death of them. It's about their life and what it meant, you know, and what it means to you.
This conversation is going to get me in trouble. I'm like, okay, watching my time. But just that I do want to say something there about the grievance process, because I'm not sure that many of us know how to grieve well. Mm-hmm. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, mm-hmm. that it is a process, that it's not something that can just be done at the snap of a finger when we necessarily want it to be over, mm-hmm. but that experience of dealing with our memories and our experiences of someone, and now that they're gone, and what do we do with that, and the feeling of a void of not having their physical body there anymore, and mm-hmm. you know, and how we make that transition and handle that. And so seeing again, just kind of my reference of the most in-depth thing I've personally seen is the movie Coco, and seeing that process, and I think even the little boy understanding why why do we do this, why is this important. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So go ahead, John.
Well, I was just going to add you know, to what Jenny explained, you know, if you haven't been to the Matty Rhodes Art Gallery, you need to come down, and we mm-hmm. invite everybody who's listening this Friday, October 5th at 6 p.m. is the opening of our 20th annual exhibition and celebration. And then the following day, we have a street festival. But it really speaks to your previous guest was regarding the art spaces. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you got into that. That's part of the Mayor's Task Force on Arts that really looked to respond to what the Kansas City residents wanted in the areas of art. And, you know, this massive celebration and recognition of artists in Swope Park is one of them. Mm-hmm. The other things that the residents and the general population shared was they wanted opportunities in their own neighborhood to experience visual and cultural arts, mm-hmm. to be able to have local venues for artists to be able to showcase their work. That is really what Matty Rhodes Art Center and Gallery has been for the last 40-plus years, and it's with that we are wanting to elevate a greater presence in Kansas City. With this Saturday at 1 p.m., we're going to do an official groundbreaking for our brand new cultural center, which is going to really allow us to double and triple the size of our celebrations, such as Dia de los Muertos.
Fantastic. So can you go through, I have here Maria share with me, so the 5th, which is your first Friday opening reception, altar and art exhibition. And then on the 6th, and that's from 6 to 10. Then on the 6th from 1 to 10 is the street festival.
Correct. And the street festival will start at 1 with an official groundbreaking of the new cultural center, which is right on West 17th and Jarbo in the west side.
And then on the 24th from 6 to 10, you have an art auction.
It's our Boulevard Brewery, their Ignite event. It's a fundraiser that we'll be doing at the Boulevard Brewery, and so we will have some items on it for auction. But it's really just a time to, you know, just have a good time and enjoy some drinks and of course learn about Matty Rhodes.
Yeah, and then November the 2nd is the closing reception.
Yes, okay. And that's a first Friday in November, and we have an illuminated light up walking parade that we've been doing for some years now, and our partners are with Stone Lion Puppet Theater, and that'll be exciting. It's a little ways off, so we want to get to this Friday and Saturday, but not too far off because it'll be here before you know it.
Right? Yeah. So with your capital campaign that you're doing, what is your main focus?
Our main focus is to build a cultural center in Kansas City's west side. And we've been very fortunate with the support of Maria Vasquez Boyd as one of our co-chairs and other volunteers to raise sufficient funds to build a brand new facility. You know, as Jenny talked about with Day of the Dead, over a 2-month period, we easily have over 5,000 individuals coming to participate in this event. Well, we're operating out of a 1,500 square foot facility, trying to put altars, a gift shop, an area to sit down and take a break, classroom tables. Well, it's just too small. Yeah. And so the new building is going to triple the size of what we currently offer so that we can make more available in terms of larger exhibits, bring in maybe some national and international artists, which we've done at times, and most importantly, to have on permanent display a 1,500-piece folk art collection. Wow. Not a lot of people know this, but Matty Rhodes Center owns the Hand in Hand Folk Art Collection, which is a collection of artwork from throughout Latin America. And so it's very special. There's a lot of curriculum material that comes with it. So here is something of an asset that we're not able to share because we just don't have the facilities to appropriately exhibit this art.
So with your groundbreaking that's going to take place on the 6th, is the center, what phase of construction are you in with the center?
So good question. So we will break ground, and the plan is to actually start construction in January. Okay. And so by July of 2019, we will have a brand new facility there at the corner of West 17th and Jarbo, and it will be about one block west of our current art center and ceramic studio. So we're continuing to stay in the west side. It signifies to the west side community that Matty Rhodes will have a permanent presence in that neighborhood that we've currently been in for over 90 years.
Wow. That's beautiful. It's making, I have a lot to do between these. We hope Maria feels better, of course, but it gives me a lot of things to go and do that I hadn't planned on doing before. Yeah. So I appreciate that.
And we'd love to have you. And we just want to, emphasize to the listeners, this is open and free to the public. This event is not a ticketed event. It's just open for those that want to come and experience a little bit of the Mexican culture, come together around fellowship with individuals from throughout the city, and just want to have a good time.
Absolutely. Can you share with us the location of Matty Rhodes, the hours, and any contact information?
Sure. We're at 919 West 17th Street. That's our gallery address. And that's where all of the festivities will be happening on First Friday, this Friday, and then also on Saturday for the festival. The groundbreaking will be right on the corner of 17th and Jarbo. Mm-hmm. And so we're really excited about that part, too. It's a great way to kind of really kick off a lot of exciting things to come, and we deserve it. Our community deserves it. So, you know, for me, it's definitely something that I'm excited and happy to be a part of. And so 919 West 17th Street, you can visit our website for information on the programming for our festival for Saturday. And then...
What's your website address?
It's www.maddyrhodes.org. And,
And your center is open Tuesday through Saturday, 12 to 5, like on a normal, like your regular
regular hours.
Okay.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay, fantastic. Any last words, John? Or
you know, just we want to thank the Kansas City community for allowing us to provide community services. Again, we're in our second century of community service, and
that's amazing.
Yes, and you know, and that is only possible by the previous staff and board members and our current board and staff who are so dedicated to really just trying to make a difference in the lives of individuals. And this afternoon, in particular, we're doing that through cultural and visual arts.
Thank you so much, John Fierro and Jenny Mendez of Matty Rhodes. We appreciate it, and stay tuned to Art Speak Radio. I'm your filling in host, Ebony Johnson, for Maria Vasquez Boy, who we're hoping gets better soon. You're tuned to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. We're going to take a station break, and then we are going to come back and talk with the lovely Carmen Marino, another artist here for Art Speak Radio. So stay tuned, and hope you're enjoying the sunshine out there as well.
Right.
Have a good week, everybody, and we'll be back after these messages. And we are back here on Art Speak Radio, 90.1 FM. Ebony Johnson filling in for Maria Vasquez Boyd. And we're having another wonderful Wednesday of conversations with artists in the Kansas City area. And rounding out today's discussion, we have artist Carmen Marino of Kansas City, who is currently working as an independent artist and has a studio practice of experimentation and open-mindedness, which that's in the write-up at least Maria gave of you. So welcome again to Art Speak Radio, Carmen.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks for being here. Can you share, just in your own words and voice, who you are as an artist and what it is that you're currently working on?
Yeah, my name is Carmen Reno. I'm an independent artist in Kansas City, Missouri. I have an interdisciplinary practice, and I work with new media installation, set design, and performance.
And for the person who may be tuning in to Art Speak Radio for the first time or someone who's not an artist, what is new media?
Well, new media can be a range of technological uses.
Okay.
But for me, I use projection mapping, or I do kind of, I incorporate technology, whether it be lighting or some type of application, into the installation. A lot of my work has projection mapping, so I'm using the projector to project onto the surface of something to create a new kind of light or sensationalism in the installation.
Something that I read in Maria's write-up as well is that you apply the sensibilities of science to art. I like that. Can you talk a little bit more about that and just your feel and maybe share behind the scenes your creative process in doing that?
Yeah, for sure. So I am really motivated by questions. I have a really innate kind of sense of curiosity. Mm-hmm. So science has always been a part of my practice, a part of who I am, how I observe the world, and how I am inquisitive. So I look at science as kind of a format for how do we ask these really big existential questions about the phenomenology of life, and how do we do that with an art practice as well, where we bring in the poetic kind of nature of our own existence into this realm of inquiry.
So what are you doing now in that vein?
Well, I am actually going into a very kind of interpersonal space. I have just started a project called Blood of the Earth, where I am looking at kind of the complex transformation of Latin American culture over time. And I'm beginning a cultural research project that will inform a new body of work that's based on feminine identity and family separation.
Yeah, one of the things that that I've read about you as well is just in your childhood experience, your father was deported several times. So what is it that you have gathered with some of those stories that you can share with us that's informing this next phase of work?
Well, it's pretty interesting. I actually... What happened as far as all this process is I had a very deep, immediate reaction to the crisis at the border because I had personal experience where policy had deeply impacted my life. I have never really brought my own personal story and experience into my work like this. And so I knew that from everything that was kind of being unearthed in me, that this would be, you know, an opportunity to not just question and observe the world around me, but to understand self and to understand identity. And I wanted to be able to provide something, not only as an activist, but as an artist. I think often we get kind of numb and nullified as far as media goes, about the things that are happening at the border and the separation of families. And I wanted to have a deeper understanding of my own experience, and I thought, well, maybe I can step into this space and I can have something to provide for how these things have impacted my life directly, but I can also reach out to other people who have similar experiences and try to cultivate a space of solidarity. And just bring awareness to the topic and bring the intimacies of the stories and the people's lives in a really direct way.
Have you spoken with, I imagine, like various family members and just, you know, gathering stories about the the experience of separation? But as far as conducting the research for yourself and the reaction, like you said, to the family separation at the border, how have you gone about tapping more into your own culture to do the research?
Right. So I had applied to artist residency in Mexico, and I was accepted this year to do cultural research on feminine identity and family separation. So I'll be attending a research program in Mexico, in Puebla. Where I will be staying in a studio. I'll have a studio space. I'll have access to private archives. I'll be given assistance, and I'll be given an art historian that will be assigned to me to help me with my studies.
Very nice. Have you, what, if you've shared this with your family, what has their response been?
I don't know. It's mostly been very positive. There's some layers there. I was fluent as a child, but throughout, you know, the deportation of my father, I kind of lost my Spanish. And a lot of my family, they're not bilingual, and my Spanish isn't so well. So understanding kind of the intricacies of those deep conversations of the feeling about family separation, has been difficult. So part of the research, hopefully, is to be able to afford a translator to also gather stories from my own family, stories that I've never heard, conversations that I've never had with even my grandmother or my aunts or anyone.
Will you be like... How much of the process, well, I don't know if you know this yet, but just understanding the process of what actually happens when someone is deported and where they go, you know, like the, even that part of it, where does, where do, what actually happens when a person is deported, and where do they go when they get to wherever they're being deported to, and pick up and start and doing whatever, and how do they make contact back to the family that's here in the States? Is that something that you're interested in finding out, that phase of what happens to the person who's been deported as well?
I am a little, but I would say that the majority of the research and interest is going to be about the emotional grievances of these kinds of experiences, and also to see what's happening on the other side of the border, what's happening in Central America. I'm very familiar about like common reactions and initiatives that are happening here in the United States, but I'm very interested to also get stories from activists on the other side in Central America to hear about what's happening there, what are the initiatives, how are artists and activists dealing with these issues on the other side, because I'm not there, so I don't experience it, I'm not able to see it or observe it. So this trip is also to be able to kind of gather stories in a different context outside of nationalism.
which to that point, because it does make it, listening to you talk about that, it makes it come full circle in a way, you know, instead of seeing one side of a story, to be able to go and see, you know, go to Central America and say, okay, well, how are things unfolding here, and not just what we hear in our media, you know, or what we have access here in the United States. Wow. When do you leave for your trip?
I leave in the third week of January.
Okay.
And we have some events coming up. If you want to find out more about the project, or if you're interested in supporting the project. And so our first event is a pop-up film screening and discussion in the Armourdale neighborhood of KCK.
Okay.
It will be at the Sanctuary, the Crosslines Community Outreach Center, and the doors open at 6:30, and the screening starts at 7 p.m.
Okay.
And then we will have a monitored casual discussion to kind of bring awareness around the project, and hear from local community members that will be monitored by Alex Martinez from KS Moda.
Okay, wonderful. And then with the film, can you talk a little bit more about what people may be able to see in the film, the screening?
Yeah, the film will be focused on migration. So it'll be from stories of migration, most likely a fiction cinema piece.
Okay, and then a discussion as well. I appreciate having the discussions, because I think similar to this, it provides a level of understanding to take place that hadn't been there before, for folks that may not be aware of what's really going on, or may not be as connected to some of the stories that you are, or maybe some other people are, but being able to get a more in-depth perspective of something comes through film, or it can come through film a lot. You do have a website too, right? Is there, can you share that?
I do. Okay. So I have my own personal website. It's CC Moreno. So it's short for my name, Carmen Cristina. So it's not like CC's Pizza. It's the actual letter CC Moreno. Yeah. And if you want to get information about the overall project and the journey and the cultural research and the GoFundMe that's out there, you can go to CC Moreno/Blood of the Earth.
Okay, fantastic. And you do some, you've talked a bit about your installations and interactive design, but performances as well? Or what type of performances?
So the programming, essentially I'm creating an installation. I'm doing cultural research to inform the visual narrative of that installation. And I want to invite musicians, artists, spoken word artists into this space, so that the installation is not just an art piece for viewing, but that it becomes activated and that it can kind of cultivate solidarity. So it could be in a range of different performances, different types of performances. Mm-hmm. And that would hopefully be developed through programming. We're looking for grant funding right now to host workshops and get stories from people and adapt kind of features in the installation.
And can they go to your website if they're interested in applying? Or I don't know. I mean, I know you said you're looking for grant money to be able to do that. But if people are interested in contacting you to perform in some way, is your website the best?
Yes, absolutely. I have a contact on there. And it's really, the nature of the project is very grounded. So much of it for me is about, like, understanding myself through a collective experience. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times people are like, oh, you got to help yourself, and you, this is how you grieve, and this is how you go through understanding. But I've always found that my process is that I learn a lot about myself by sharing with others. And the whole kind of spirit of this for me is to open up that space and share stories and hear from others that have had similar experiences as a way to kind of walk through some of these areas of trauma and conflict as a collective. So if anyone out there is interested in being a part of programming or finding out more, very approachable, open to anybody, please contact me and feel free to reach out in any way. We also have a Facebook page that's Blood of the Earth. So you could go directly towards Facebook and just find it there and message me there.
Thank you for that. And how long is your stay? When you leave, you said you leave about the third week of January, and then how long do you anticipate staying?
I'll be there 3 weeks, or no, 4 weeks.
4 weeks?
Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. Well, we so appreciate you for being here, Carmen Marino, who is an independent artist here in Kansas City, and we're looking forward to what is to come of your experience, and appreciate the work that you're doing, and wish you well with your cultural residency, and I'm really looking forward to what happens after your after your 3 weeks. And this, and one more time for just your website and the screening that's coming, that event, that your next event coming up.
Right. My website is ccmoreno.com, and our pop-up event is happening on October 20th in the Armourdale neighborhood of KCK, and it will be at 736 Shawnee Avenue, the Sanctuary at Crossline Community Outreach.
Thank you.
We also have a later pop-up if you would like to have information about that. Manny Rhodes Art Center that was just on today.
Great. Thank you.
I worked for them for 3.5 years, and so they're hosting me. And we'll have a brunch